Welcome, guys, back to the Story of God pod.
There it is.
You
there
like it, right?
I do.
It's not the name of the podcast, but I think it's sticking.
It's there.
Yeah.
It's the unofficial name.
It's the unofficial name. And if it's your first time hanging out with us, we're glad you're joining us. Last week, Ethan, you preached and did a fabulous job. If you didn't get a chance to be here or hear his message, you ought to get online and hear it. But God used you in a pretty powerful way. One of my big takeaways. One of my big takeaways, 2020, when I was over here slaving away and I thought the entire staff was working hard, apparently a video came out.
We were making viral videos on TikTok. Yeah, that's what we were doing.
Wow. This was happening while I thought you were over there like praying for people.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Studying your Bibles and you guys were lip syncing to whatever, huh?
You know, it took us 15 seconds to make that video. I mean, we might have done it like twice, so a minute in total. But I'm like, it's so crazy to me how it went viral and like people do that all the time. I'm like, I don't know.
And how many views did you guys get?
I think it was somewhere in 4 million range. Yeah.
Man, people are bored today.
it was 5 years, well, 6 years ago now. Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, that's fun. I'm glad we can have fun around here and laugh. Yeah. You talked about something pretty serious this last week.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's this idea or this preoccupation we have with greatness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there's an acronym, the GOAT, the greatest of all time, right?
Yeah.
That we have. And she talked about kind of the danger of destructiveness of pride. And so I thought we'd just kind of tease that out a little bit because I think everybody in a talk like that feels uncomfortable somewhere. Fair?
I just felt uncomfortable all week long. Absolutely.
Yeah. So let's start right in the beginning. Like, where do you think pride comes from? Like, where does this thing bubble from? And then maybe go into why is it so dangerous?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can share just some thoughts on some things I was studying all week long and kind of thinking through this. But I think a lot of, our pride comes from just like a detachment from God God's not enough, and so I want to detach my life from Him and focus on me. And so when I think about the origin story of pride, you're like, mm-hmm. Satan's origin story was Scripture talks about he looked at himself with pride, and he thought he was a god and tried to take the throne of God, created this whole rebellion mm-hmm. out of it. Because it was his beauty, he was an angel of beauty and splendor, and it got to his head. Hmm. And rather than God being worshipped, all of a sudden the spotlight turned on himself, and he wanted himself to be worshipped and took angels with him. And so I think he detached himself from God, which is what you and I and all of us have the tendency of doing, is living our life detached from God, which then makes us go, man, we have to prove our greatness, which is... I said it this week, but I don't know. I'm really fascinated and curious about the ego and insecurity, and mm-hmm. I just see that tension in my own life all the time. I think pride is just insecurity trying to prove itself, mm-hmm. and I really think like the most prideful people are probably the most insecure, just trying to push their greatness out into the world because they feel like they're not all that great mm-hmm. underneath it. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. Well, I love several things you just said. Like, was it C.S. Lewis? I mean, I'm asking you, but C.S. Lewis, I think in Mere Christianity, talked about, you just kind of outlined, I don't know if you meant to do this, but like the thing that makes pride the ultimate defection is the fact that, you know, that's Satan's origin story, right? That pride is the vice underneath all other vices.
Yeah.
And then he says, I think he says it this way, it's like the ultimate anti-God attitude. Like, I don't need God. Like, that's kind of what you just outlined that. And I think he kind of said that. And it's kind of connected to insecurity. That was interesting to me. You said that pride is really insecurity trying to prove itself.
Yeah.
Is what you said. I mean, can you flesh that out any more? Because I think that's an interesting thing to think about, that arrogance, when you come in contact with an arrogant person, that really what it is insecurity with clothes on that's trying to prove itself, so to speak.
Yeah.
What's the connection there, like, as you were kind of fleshing that out.
Yeah, I'm curious your thoughts too. But I think some of it is probably personal experience where I felt in my life at different points just deeply insecure. And so then I have to like try and prove it to the mm-hmm. world that I know what I'm doing. I know where I'm at. I'm confident in where I'm going or things like that. So some of that's personal. And then I think, like the most, insecure leaders, I feel like people that maybe have a position of greatness, usually just seem like they don't take opinions of others very well. They don't invite feedback into their leadership. And so it just feels like there's something underneath that that's like, I have to do this on my own, mm-hmm. Which is that pride that sneaks up. This morning, as I was thinking about the podcast, I was getting all over scripture. There's lots I really wanted to talk on because scripture talks all over on pride. But one of the things I was thinking some on, I haven't developed tons of thought on this, but the story of Nebuchadnezzar in mm-hmm. Daniel 4, where Nebuchadnezzar, he looks out at his kingdom and the greatness of Babylon, and he says, I built this great kingdom for myself mm-hmm. and for my glory. And then Daniel kind of prophesies and interprets a dream of his and says, you're going to act like an animal. And mm-hmm. so his like insecurity of building this whole great kingdom, this prideful kingdom, all of a sudden drove him into an insanity, like eating grass as an ox. And he comes to the end of it. He finally humbles himself before the Lord and he's like, praise the Lord for he's good. He's the great one. He's the one worthy of it. And he brings the prideful and allows them to walk with him in humility, I think is how he kind of ends out. And I do think, like, I don't know if I'm answering your question of how pride and insecurity go together, but I just think there's some of this like hopelessness that I felt with this message of like, how do I get humble? You know, like pride just feels like it's blinding. Like I don't even know when it's there. Sometimes it feels elusive and hard to get around it. But I was reading that again this morning and just like, oh, we can't necessarily always choose humility. Like God gives that as a gift. Mm-hmm. He opens our eyes to the greatness of who he is and just the smallness, I guess, of who I actually am. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's fascinating. So somehow pride is connected to this. Go ahead.
Can I flip the question on you? Like, I'm curious what your thoughts are on the insecurity and pride and the connection to that. Because
I think there's this innate desire in us to justify ourselves.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, I want a verdict from you. I need a verdict from you. I need to know I'm okay.
Yeah.
And then I'm not just okay, but that I'm, you know, that I'm better than, right? And so the insecurity, I don't know where I rank, where I fit. I don't know what you think. And so what happens is pride becomes very connected to my need to justify myself, which is fascinating because the gospel speaks to that, right?
Yeah.
Like we live not for a verdict, but from a verdict. That's why pride is something that is so anti-gospel, right? Because the verdict we get from God has nothing to do with anything good in us, everything to do with the goodness of God. And so, yeah, I just think there's this... And you can see it, not to keep quoting him, but wasn't it C.S. Lewis that said, pride isn't just like, I want to be rich and good. I want to be richer. I want to be gooder.
Yeah.
I want to be, you know, whatever. I don't think gooder is a word. But anyways.
yeah.
And I think there's this thing that the only thing I know to compare myself to is the people around me. So I got to kind of, that at its core, it is connected to insecurity and it's attached to competitiveness.
Yeah,
that I got to be gooder, better, richer, da da da, stronger, whatever. And I think we just want a verdict, and that verdict is something that we can in the gospel we get from God.
Yeah,
like you kind of were going to like. I mean, you did a great job on Sunday just fleshing this out. One of the things you did was you kind of went through this, and I didn't prep him for this, so just went through this list, but what are kind of the sneaky ways pride shows up? So when you think of pride, you think of the big, arrogant guy that whatever is, you know, bombastic and all those kind of things. But you kind of did a good job of saying, you know, pride shows up in different ways, and it's sneaky and hard. You said hard to detect in yourself.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. I think an example I gave Sunday, but that I see it in myself a lot is in my false attempts at humility. Yeah. And so you're like, oh, well, I'll try and do something that's unseen or unnoticed, hoping that somebody sees me and notices me for doing it. And so there's ways like that it shows up in me. I think for me, and even I was in a conversation this past week with a couple people that I'm like, oh, man, pride shows up like this a lot. We're just stuck in our heads. Mm-hmm. And when we're stuck in our heads, we might not be the prideful, arrogant on the outside, but in the inside, there's this constant judgment that just thinks I'm better than you, that just assumes you don't know what you're talking about, that just dismisses other people around me all the time, that is this little Pharisee in our head that just mm-hmm. is like, well, at least I'm doing better than them. At least mm-hmm. I'm farther along than them. And I think it just shows up in so many different ways. It's, I was going to say, I think it's C.S. Lewis, but I think it might be Spurgeon that says pride shows up like 1,000 different ways and you can't seem to kill them all. Like it just it's like whack-a-mole. You just keep seeing it pop up and you're like, oh, I don't like that. So yeah, I gave a whole list, which some of those were not original with me at all, but of just ways that pride can show up in people's lives. Of just, you're always looking down. If I'm always looking down or I'm always looking within, I'm never actually looking up, and humility just looks up, I think, going, wow, he's so much bigger. And even it's like Paul says, like putting the interests of others above yourself. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's just this way of like, I don't want to like put people down. I want to lift them up and go, wow, they're incredible. Like mm-hmm. even the brokenness that's in them, they're made in the image of God, and there's something I have to learn. And, mm-hmm. I think it kind of shows up like that.
Yeah. I found your spotlight, picture fascinating. That kind of,
it's definitely not original to me.
Not original. Well, thank you for confessing that. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was great. I thought, when you talked about pride's hard to detect in ourselves, I don't know who said this, but I heard this one time and it's just resonated with me, that pride's like bad breath. Everybody else knows you have it.
It's so true. That's right? Good.
Yeah.
That's good.
So, I mean, but, you know, like, oh man, you know, everybody else can see it. And you're like, well, what do you mean? I'm not proud.
Yeah.
And far be it from me to counter C.S. Lewis, you know, but he said, you know, pride, its course, competitiveness, and maybe that's it. I want to be better. But there's a sense to which the sneakiness you're just getting at, that pride can be like, I want to be better, or put others down to put myself up. But pride is also this being consumed with a focus on myself is kind of what the spotlight thing said. So whether that's look at me and I want to impress others, but it can be flip of that, right? Like in a weird way, pride can be so consumed with me that I'm not good enough, and I'm this, and I'm, you know, I look so in. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's sneaky that way.
There's a book title that I have that I really want to write one day, is Humility and How I Achieved It and Why I'm Proud of It. You know, in pure ironic fashion, sarcasm. I was hoping for a laugh there. Now people think I'm serious. But
you're looking for that book on Amazon right now.
I do think there's something like pride just draws attention always to itself. And I think it's been in conversations with you, just I really wrestle with it and was wrestling with it this week a lot, because it just seems like pride can even be a virtue mm-hmm. that is in our world. So like mm-hmm. you asked, where does it come from? And I'm like, I had a conversation with somebody after one of the services that just said, I was taught that being proud was a good thing, mm-hmm. That being great was something worth going after. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a difference between like pride and confidence. That's mm-hmm. like, yeah, you can be confident and humble. Well, it mm-hmm. feels like the paradox of that, but mm-hmm. but I don't want to be proud, you know. And mm-hmm. but it just feels like the proud A lot of times in our world, like the Psalms is all throughout it, where you're like, how is it the evil get ahead and the the proud seem to win and the humble seem to lose? And I can really, yeah, I think you just watch it in our world and I can struggle with that like the disciples did.
I for one, and I don't know about you guys, but I appreciate it, the saying that out loud, because that's just a real tension, right? That you're like, man, I see what it says there, but I'm like looking around, man, it just seems, you know, the opposite of that. And so that's a real tension that I think people feel and, you know, wrestle with. Like, what do I do with that, with the idea of pride? When I think about this idea of pride and humility and, you know, because you can be proud of your humility.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you're getting at, right? It's like, oh, look at me. Look how humble I am. Yeah. It's like,
hence the book title.
Hence the book title, which sign up now to get the advanced copy. But yeah, I mean, there's a sense to it, you know, pride is all about, because you were going down this path, like pride isn't confidence. I think the semantics, you know, even we're proud to be Americans. It's very common in our country. We're thankful. We're grateful. Like there's nothing wrong with, like, man, thank you, Lord. But I think pride, what it does is it points to what I've done. Mm-hmm. Whereas what you seem to be saying to us, it's the most anti-gospel thing pride is, because the gospel actually, like, point and look at what he done.
Yeah.
He's done. Yeah, it's fascinating. Yeah. So tell me this then, and I didn't prep you for this, but let's just kind of talk this through. So I'm sitting out there listening to you, and I'm like, well, then God hates pride. Mm-hmm. But you tell me on different Sundays he loves me. I'm like, and I'm proud. And like, help me make sense of that.
Yeah.
And good luck.
That's a great question. Yeah, I think of the Proverbs, like, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And like, if I can see how big he is, it all of a sudden makes me realize that my sin is pretty significant and it's sizable, and the gospel, the cross, Christ coming to us in the way that he did, all of that starts to like revolutionize, blow my mind, break all the concepts of what I thought of God down, because I realize I have a God that I should be, in all realness, I should probably be afraid of, but I don't have to be, because I know from the gospel that, one, he made me. That's the story that we've been in, but like, he loves me by giving himself for me when he didn't have to. So when I realize that, it's like, oh my gosh, like, He does not want to be distant from us. That's different. Like, I think maybe that's something we should clarify, is it's not like he wants to be distant from us. He is a God who wants to draw near. But he can't, when like the ego just continues to inflate itself. It's like he keeps his distance because, not because he's walked away fully, but you've pushed him out. You know, like your ego's taken up so much room that you can't, you have no room for him. What are your thoughts on that?
Like, that was your question, man. Good luck.
You said good luck. I'm like curious. What?
You know, I think about that question, and I mean, I don't know. We're just going off the cuff here. Maybe the picture that most makes sense to me right now is a father to his kids.
Yeah.
Like, so my kids are grown and gone, but, you know, my kids, this idea of fearing God is this reverencing and respecting. And so in our home, you know, I wanted the kids to recognize the role. I was their father. I've said before, one of my kids called me dude. I'm like, I'm not your dude.
Yeah.
I'm your dad.
Yeah.
Right? And with my kids, I love them more than they knew at the time. And yet there were different times in my kids' life, and you could talk to them. They're grown adults. You're friends with one of them, two of them. you know, that arrogance showed up. And I, as their father, would maybe point that out. And had nothing to do. I think I hated the arrogance that I saw in them because my love for them was so deep. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because I knew the destruction that the arrogant path would take them on.
Yeah.
And so I wanted them to recognize I'm their father that God's placed in their life. I love them, and the arrogance that I see in them that sometimes caused them to stiff arm my advice and counsel, you know? But that my love for them is what caused my hatred, for lack of a better term, of the arrogance. I didn't hate them.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't hate them. I love them. I think I love them so much that I didn't want the arrogance and the pride to be the path they chose.
Yeah.
Does that make sense what I'm saying?
It does.
Yeah.
I'm curious, and maybe you kind of answered it within that, but when it comes to you said it's bad breath that everybody like knows you have, but you don't recognize. Do you think it's something where we call that out in people? How do you think you go about that? Do you always go about it? Do you not? Like, I'm just curious how you interact with people that maybe you sense pride in.
Yeah. Well, first of all, it's really tricky how you turn the tables here.
But see how I did that?
But I do think it's good for us to go down, and I think pride is the great blinder. Like, not many people, if you said you're proud, would be like, some people would, but they're like, no, I'm not.
Yeah.
Right? And you know, Aiden taught our all staff, and he talked about some things. And one of the things he said in there was, we all have blind spots, and the reason you don't know your blind spots is because they're blind spots.
Yeah.
And so to answer your question, I do think that in community, where there's trusted brothers, sisters, whatever it might be, who that we love, who can look at us and say, listen, man, you know, I see this that I might not see in myself. I know this, that if you got something hanging from your nose and you're getting ready up to preach, like if I'm going to love you, I'm gonna like, hey, brother, let's get a tissue, right? And you're going to be like, thanks, man.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I think in somewhat the same way that if pride is such a stench, it's destructive, it's all the things, and I got a close Christian brother, and he's like, man, your breath smells bad. The pride is there. We're in a gentle, Galatians 6, gentle way. There can be a restoration. We're in humility. I would receive that and look at that and process it in a way that would come before God in humility. So I do think that others are important in that process. And trust me, if you're married,
yeah, it just happens. I mean
yeah, and yeah. Sometimes like, hey, you're getting kind of too big for your britches, and we all have a tendency to do that. So tell me this, and maybe we'll end with this question, but I'm sitting out there listening, like, I got you, man. Pride, I see it in me. How do I be humble, Pastor Ethan?
Yeah,
what's the pathway to humility?
Yeah,
like, because the harder I try, the prouder I get.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, I mean, I go to James 4. James 4 is, I don't know. I don't know if I have a favorite Bible verse, but I have like favorite passages and like chunks of scripture. James 4 is definitely one of them that just, he opposes the proud, shows favor to the humble. But before that, he says, you adulterous people, he just calls them out. You have friendship with the world and you're trying to have friendship with me. And it doesn't work like that. And I think the way to humility, I don't know. I feel like I've said it already, but I think it's just staring at Jesus, where when I stare at him long enough, I see just the junk that rises in my own heart. And I'm like, Lord, I need you. Like, I desperately need you. Mm-hmm. And I think it's this place of desperation that then I find the God who loves me that I run into. He starts to form humility in me. I'm blanking, Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, blessed are you who are poor in spirit, mm-hmm. who are impoverished in spirit, who recognize the brokenness, who know they're like totally desperate for a savior. Mm-hmm. And so, I think that's probably one way. And then I do think it's fascinating that, or I think that's probably the primary way. I should say it that way. But mm-hmm. I think the other thing that's fascinating is Jesus gives it right after this widow. Mm-hmm. He talks to these religious teachers and he's saying, I see all this pride in you and arrogance and greed and all these things. And then this widow chooses to put two coins, and nobody saw her. Nobody was noticing. She wasn't doing it to be seen, I don't think. But we don't know any of the posture of her heart in this moment. Jesus just calls her out and goes, that's greatness. That's what it really looks like. And so I think if I could practice some things, like if I could live my life in certain ways where I'm a secret agent trying to just go around doing some good where nobody else sees it or nobody else recognizes it, and just see what that does in my heart and soul for a minute. Because it's when I'm at home doing something that nobody really sees that is for the benefit of others or for the benefit of God, that I'm sitting there like, man, I want to be recognized for this. Or when I'm here and you're doing stuff and you're like, oh, but I don't need to be recognized for this. I want to live for the audience of one and know that God sees it and he's recognizing it. And I almost wonder if those things are the things that he's going to get more than any sermon I preach. I wonder if he's going to get more fired up about the things nobody sees that, yeah, so I think just practicing that to start letting humility form. But
that's good. Yeah, those moments tell you whether it's an act of worship or recognition, right?
Yeah, like, yeah.
Am I doing this? And you know, I heard it said one time that I wonder if part of the secret is somebody said preach the gospel to yourself every day.
Yeah,
like pride and the gospel just don't go together. For by grace we're saved. Nothing we didn't like. So right from the get go, I think about that. I think about the fact that. If you claim to be in Jesus, 1 John says you must walk as Jesus did. That you ended us so fantastic this way. Philippians 2, we have a God who Jesus didn't consider equality with God, something to grasp, made himself a servant, became obedient. So I'm going to follow the example of the one who served me. So why would I humble? Well, I'm responding to the one who humbled himself. But then I think you and I learned this week. It was interesting. I was thinking about this coming into today, into the office, that humility is, I think, one of the most poignant signs of a spirit-filled life. Hmm. Because we learn this, that the Holy Spirit is self-deferential, not self-referential.
Yeah.
That he's always pointing to the Father through Christ, always deflecting, always pointing. And so the sign of a spirit-filled church isn't all these things that they're doing. It's that Christ is the center.
Yeah.
And we use a phrase around here, shine the light spread on Jesus.
Yeah.
And I think about humility, it's like, is the Spirit filling my life in a way that's just pointing to Christ? Like when people come, does that spotlight, which I loved your illustration that, does it shine on me or does it shine on Jesus in a way that helps others?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think we battle it. And you did a great job leading us through it. I think we say this every week, you just handed the ball to us. Like the conversation needs to continue.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Totally.
Needs to continue. And it's something that, we probably need to continue to examine our own hearts.
Oh, yeah.
Because pride can sneak in, can't it?
Yeah. I want to ask you, I'm like, do I ever get rid of this? Like, that's where it seems like it just keeps sneaking in. But I said it, I'm like, pride is maybe the thing I hate the most, or arrogance is just like super ugly or unattractive to me. And I don't know if I thought about it, but the opposite of that would be maybe humility is the most beautiful mm-hmm. attribute in people. And so... I think striving towards humility and going, it's just going to keep deferring to the goodness that I see in others or in God, and never trying to take something that doesn't belong to me for recognition or appearance sake or whatever. Yeah.
Well, that's good stuff. And hopefully this is helpful to you and you kind of turn this over. Ethan and I got to go because we're going to make a TikTok video. Love for you guys to check it out. But
it's not going to get many views.
We love you guys. Have a good day.